The dictionary says integrity is being honest and having strong moral principles. God's word says better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Hi, I'm Rob West. Are you living with integrity in your financial dealings? We'll check up on that today. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. You know, integrity has another definition besides being honest. It can also mean strength and dependability. When we say a bridge has integrity, we mean it's sturdy and consistently reliable. No matter how much traffic drives over that bridge, it's not going to break up and fall into the river. Christians are called to be like that bridge. We represent Jesus Christ to the world, so it's our responsibility and our privilege to be honest, strong, and dependable in all we do. Of course, we're not always going to do everything right, but with God's help, we persevere. As it says in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, we're talking about financial integrity today because your attitudes and actions around money reveal a lot about your heart. So here's the question. Are you being honest, morally strong, and dependable in your personal money matters? We'll start with honesty because it's the most important element of integrity. Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." That's from Luke 3:13. You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work. Titus 1:7 says, "The overseer must be above reproach as God's steward." Communities are healthier when people are honest. Proverbs 28:12 and 13 paints a vivid picture. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Here's what honesty looks like in real life. It means doing what is right, whether people are watching you or not. It means always telling the truth on timesheets, tax forms, tests, and applications, and in your social media posts as well. Honesty also requires fair treatment of employees, clients, coworkers, and customers. All financial dealings should be transparent and upright. The second element of integrity is moral strength. Moral strength isn't something we can come up with on our own. The power we need to live the Christian life comes from God. He fills us with His Holy Spirit and leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, as it says in Psalms 23. The more time you spend studying the Bible, the better you'll understand God's ways. The more you apply biblical principles to your life and finances, well, the stronger your moral principles will become. As a person of integrity who belongs to Christ, you can be confident that God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Now, the third characteristic that defines integrity is dependability. Dependability goes hand in hand with good reputation. Proverbs 22:29 confirms this. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. You see, our goal as Christians is to point people to Christ, and a solid reputation gives you a platform to do just that. In light of all of this, ask yourself, can your family, friends, and coworkers depend on you to do what's right? Are your words and actions consistently godly? As far as personal finances, are you sticking to a clear, manageable plan? Being honest, morally strong, and dependable is a challenge, and nobody does it right all the time. Selfishness and ungodly desires often get in the way of integrity. That's when we have to repent, pray for God's forgiveness, and ask for His help. Then we can make things right with anyone we've injured and move forward. Remember, the only power Satan has is to accuse and confuse. He can't snatch you from the hands of your heavenly Father. Romans 8:1 reads, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So you can afford to pursue integrity in your personal and financial life, even if you fail from time to time. I hope that's been an encouragement to you today. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The world's strongest man. Ever seen those competitions on sports television? Usually they involve huge, hulking men doing things that seem absolutely ridiculous, like pulling a semi-truck with a chain or racing each other while carrying fridges. You can't watch things like that without being in awe at the raw physical strength of these men. But you know, even the strongest man in the world is nothing compared to the strongest strong one, the Lord Yahweh, the creator of all things. And this is what we read in Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. And not only is God the rock, he's also upright and just. And that's why he can be our refuge and hope. Grow stronger in God's word daily with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we provide a hopeful, encouraging, biblical message of financial decision making. You know, it's all about looking through the lens of Scripture, holding what God has entrusted to us loosely so we can give generously. I would submit that's the primary purpose for which God has entrusted resources to us, clearly to provide for ourselves and our families. But I think so often we get stuck in an endless list of needs and wants, never getting beyond that to the opportunity to serve those on our path and be generous, supporting the work of the Lord. Think about that today as you consider your role as a steward in managing God's money. All right, we're going to head to the phones. Dawn is in Alabama. You'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. I'm currently retired, and I have three 401ks and various companies I worked with before, and one of the three 401k programs is terminating. So I'm forced to move my funds to someplace else. Since I'm not currently working and I'm retired, would I be able to roll that money over into one of my other two 401k programs, or do I have to put it like in a IRA?
Yeah, it's a good question. Let me just Yeah, let me clarify one thing, though, Dawn. Did you say one of these was your son's retirement account?
No. They're all three mine.
Okay, I thought I heard you say your son. My apologies. Yeah, typically when you separate from an employer, you're no longer able to roll other 401ks in. Often when you're still employed and you have an active 401k, the plan administrator may allow you to roll other 401ks in, and we will on occasion recommend that just because it keeps things a little simpler to have everything in one place, and then you're not managing multiple accounts with different investment strategies. But given that you're fully retired, you've separated from all three of these companies, really your opportunity is to roll these into one traditional IRA. That will not be a taxable event. You won't be taking a distribution as long as you do a rollover. So you'll set up that IRA first. You could do that at Fidelity or Schwab, or if you wanted to hire an advisor, I'd do that first, and then they'll tell you where to open the account. In fact, they'll do it for you, and then you'll just request the rollover paperwork, or you probably do it electronically with each of the three 401k plan administrators, and then that check will be sent directly to the custodian, or it'll be sent electronically through the ACAT system directly to the custodian of that new IRA. All the money will eventually be in one place, and then you can begin investing.
Okay. Do you know if they have, like, Fidelity or Schwab, do they have, like, ETF IRAs or IRAs that are ETF-based?
Yeah, so once you get it into the IRA, you can invest in anything you want. Now, a lot of that has to do with the company you select. You could open an IRA with a bank, or you could do it at a discount brokerage like Fidelity or Schwab, or you could, you know, go to a Merrill Lynch or a Morgan Stanley, and they would all have, you know, multiple options. But if you went to, let's say, a Fidelity or Schwab, one of the discount brokerages, you could basically select anything you want. If you wanted more of a robo solution where they automatically use ETFs to build an indexed approach to investing, where you're just capturing the broad moves of the stock market with an allocation that's based on your age, you might want to go into the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. But if you just want to build it yourself, you know, all of those fund options, whether they're mutual funds that are indexes or exchange traded funds, they'll all be available there on either of those platforms.
Okay, so I just have to get the money in there, and then I can invest in whatever I want.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it'll come in the form of cash. So it'll go into the money market, whichever you select as your sweep account. So I would usually select the government money market, which means it's investing in government bills, bonds, and notes. And then that's your default account. That'll start earning interest. And then as you begin to deploy it in whatever investments you want, individual stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, then, you know, that's when it gets invested.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dawn. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. But we haven't been to Green Bay in a while. Let's head there to Wisconsin. Hi, Tricia. Go ahead.
Hi there. My siblings and I were wondering, we were told that when our mother passes away, she has a home that's in a trust that we will all inherit, that within 1 year of her passing, we have to sell that home. It's a vacation home. Otherwise, if we don't sell it within that first year of her death, the cost basis will revert back to what her cost basis was versus the day we inherited.
That would be news to me. I'm not familiar with that. Essentially, what happens is that that cost basis is reset to the date of death when you inherit it. Now, from that point forward, if it continues to increase in value, well, then at that point, you could generate a capital gain. But I'm not aware of any kind of provision where it would revert back after a period of time. I mean, you could connect with an estate attorney just to confirm that. But my understanding has always been that it would essentially step up permanently to the date of death. That's one of the benefits of a trust, is you're receiving it as a beneficiary through an inheritance, and therefore you enjoy that stepped up cost basis.
Okay. All right. That's what we needed to kind of hear and where to go if we need to then. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for your call today, Tricia. We appreciate it. Chicago is where we'll go next. Adam, go ahead, sir.
Yes. How are you doing, sir? Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yes, sir.
Okay, real quick. My company just started a 401k. The maximum amount of contribution from them is $4,000 a year. I'm 68 years old. They just took out the second contribution of 10%. My question is, and 5% is the minimum you have to contribute to get to $4,000 a year. Should I knock it down from 10% to 5%? And I put the money in the least amount of volatility because I'm not concerned about making a lot of money with my age.
Yeah.
So question is, should I go from 10% to 5% on my part? Should I pay taxes on it now or later? That's the two questions I have.
Yeah, very good. So you're obviously still working and plan to for some time?
Okay. Well, no, about another 18 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like you putting it in. I think you can put in as much as you want. I would be more concerned about what are your savings goals and let that drive your contributions. You could put in up to $30,000 for 2023 in a 401k over the age of 50. What you're talking about is the amount that they'll match. You certainly want to put in as enough to get the match. That's free money. Whether you go beyond that has to do with how much you ultimately want to put away for retirement. So if you're still not there yet and you're working, this is a great time to accelerate the contributions up to 10% plus, because you're going to get a deduction on that, which is good because you're in a higher bracket since you're still working, and then you could pull it out down the road. So I'd keep it up at 10% or more as long as that's in line with your retirement savings goals. Thanks for your call. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Also, all of our broadcast archives are there, and we bring together the best content in biblical finance anywhere in our Learn tab. And then you could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Coming up on The Stand Radio, we'll see how a right view of God can change everything.
Going through high religious motions without a high view of God Himself doesn't really help get you to the mark of where you need to be under the umbrella and favor of God.
Plus, we'll learn how important it is to understand Christian persecution.
When one brother or sister is being persecuted, it should affect all of us.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. To Cleveland, WCRF. Hey, Linda, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Well, thanks so much for taking my call. It's a two-part, please, if this is possible.
Sure.
The first thing I want to ask about is that I have a 17-year-old granddaughter who's been working, and this is her senior year, and we were wondering if it would make sense that she might put her money into a Roth. And then the second question that I have is, I'm looking for resources to help educate high school girls about money basics so that they would understand compound interest and things necessary to buy a home and financial terms that apply to different experiences they're going to have, if you know of such a resource.
Yeah, very good. So let's take the first one. I think, yes, I like a Roth IRA. She's, of course, has to have earned income, and she would be able to contribute up to the earned income she has or the limit for the year, which is $6,500 for 2023, whichever comes first. Now, what money would she not want to put in a Roth IRA? Well, it really should be money that she wants to invest for the long term to get a jump start on retirement. And if she could put in a couple of thousand this year and, you know, do that into her early working years and when she gets married, if she and her husband really stay focused on that and then add a 401k along the way, eventually they're going to have to soon start asking the question, how much is enough? Because they'll be so far ahead in terms of what they'll ultimately have through the power of compounding over 50 years of compounding that they're going to have more than they need, which is a great problem to have because they can really accelerate their giving along the way. But this would be a great discipline and habit to start, and the Roth IRA is the perfect place to do it because she pays the tax now, which is going to be next to nothing because she's not, you know, making a whole lot. And then it grows tax-free until retirement for, like I said, maybe 50 years. Or so. So that's great. The only key would just be, you know, keeping money aside that she needs in the short term for, you know, spending money in college or if she needs to buy a car or an apartment. Now, of course, with the Roth IRA, you can always get your original contribution back without any penalties or taxes. You just can't touch the gains. But I wouldn't go into it with it, thinking of it as a savings account. I would really put money in that she plans to leave. In terms of where to go for a teenager, college student, to really help them understand how to handle money, there's a phenomenal program it's called Open Hands Finance. And if you go to openhandsfinance.com, Open Hands Finance, there's a good friend of ours that has put this together. We need to have her on the program sometime. It's a small group course, essentially for college students to establish a firm financial foundation based on biblical wisdom. Every week's lesson has a podcast that goes with it, and it's written in a language that, you know, would just be really appropriate for college students. But it's biblical at its core, and it's just as really helpful content. So I think that would be a great resource for her. Again, Open Hands Finance, and I love the Roth IRA.
Okay. Thank you so much. What a blessing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Linda. Thanks for your call today. Let's see, Cletus in Carpentersville, Illinois. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. My father-in-law just passed away recently, and we're in a kind of a unique situation. So his primary means of income was through the sale of illegal substances. So after he passed, we found a considerable amount of cash. So we got about $8,000 in cash and then close to another $8,000 in gold bars. And there's a safe that we haven't gotten into yet. So we're just looking for some biblical wisdom on, should we keep this money? Should we donate it? Can you direct me to some areas of scripture that would maybe give me some wisdom on and direction on what to do?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think this is ultimately a conviction matter. Obviously, this was these are what the Bible would call ill-gotten gains. You can read about that in God's Word. And, you know, the Bible says that has no lasting value. Clearly, we're to work honestly as unto the Lord by legal means. Work is something that was ordained by the before the fall of man. And so we were created in the image of God, the ultimate creator worker, to be creators and workers. But we're to do that honestly and with integrity and by way of legal means. Now, obviously, he's deceased. And so you are the next steward of these resources. And so I think handling these wisely, based on prayer and establishing your own convictions around that, there wouldn't be anything, and I don't think in God's Word that I would point to say you as the next steward, with him having now passed away and there not being an issue of you having to, you know, report this or disclose these illegal activities because he's deceased. I think you're now the steward. So these resources God has placed in your hand, and you're to use them for God's glory, despite how they were derived. Remember, money is not morally, you know, positive or negative. It's morally neutral. It's a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and you are now the steward of this tool. And the question is, how do you want to use it? And I think perhaps given the knowledge of how it was derived, even though we know the Bible is very clear, even the power to create wealth comes from the Lord. So it all belongs to him. This wasn't your father-in-law's money. This was God's money. And it happened to make its way into your father-in-law's hands through illegal means, but it still belongs to the Lord. And now the Lord has entrusted it to you. So my counsel to you would be to say, you all come together and pray and say, Lord, give us a conviction as to how we should use this. And perhaps the very best way to honor him is to take those ill-gotten gains and to use them to spread the gospel and to redeem that money for the sake of the glory and the gospel being proclaimed of Jesus Christ. I love that idea, but I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. Again, money is a tool, and I think ultimately you guys need to pray it through and decide how the Lord is leading, and whichever way he leads, I would say you follow that leading and do that as unto the Lord, and you'll be glorifying him in the process. That's my best advice for you, Cletus. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you seek him in that. Thanks for the call today. Be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile, Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Got all the lines full, so sit back and enjoy some great questions today as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Let's head to Colorado. Hey, David, thanks for calling, sir. How can I help?
Yeah, thank you. I bought some I-bonds a year and a half or so ago. Two of them are beyond a year old. Another one is about 6 months. And I see that the interest rate on I-bonds looks like it's gone down, if I'm looking at it right. And I wondered what your recommendation would be to protect that money a little bit from all the craziness that's going on.
Yeah, very good. You know, I was a fan of I-bonds back when they were at 9.6%. I was still a fan of them at 6.8%. But I was telling folks it really should be for that bucket of money that's 1 to 3 years in time horizon. Because, you know, if it's money that's beyond 3 years, certainly beyond five, you know, we would rather you buy into the stock market despite those attractive returns. We knew it was temporary. And money that was less than a year, well, obviously that doesn't apply because you've got to leave money in I-bonds for at least 12 months. And if you take it out in less than 5 years, but beyond 1 year, you're going to pay a 3-month penalty. So given that the current composite rate's at 4.3%, I really think you can do better elsewhere. So for the money that's been in there for at least a year, I would say go ahead and pull that out. Then again, we need to go through the same process here, David, to determine what is the time horizon on this money and what is its purpose. If it's money that is 5 years great or greater that you're going to use it, certainly 10, well, then you can start to look at, should we take some risk with it and invest it in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio? If not, you want to keep it completely safe and guaranteed by the U.S. government. Well, now we're looking at, you know, high yield savings or CDs. Good news there is you can get 5.5% right now, a point plus better than an I-bond in a CD. So you've got options, but continuing to buy the I-bonds or even holding the I-bonds beyond what you have to really doesn't make sense anymore because that rate's already down below the CD rates, and it's going to come down again when we get the new rate November 1st.
All right. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'll cash in those two that are over a year old, and the one that's less than a year is still getting over 6%, so I'll take care of that when it gets a year old.
There you go. I think that's a great plan. Hey, thanks for calling today, sir. We appreciate it. To Indianapolis. Hey, Jeremy, how can I help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I had a question about borrowing from a 401k. We're debt-free. We don't have no bills or mortgage or nothing, just utilities. We got a good emergency fund, but I monitor my 401k pretty regularly, and it's not getting much over a 4% return. And I was wondering, does it make sense to borrow like 50 grand, put it on a CD, get 5.5% return, and then I pay myself back interest? Does that make sense?
No, I don't like that approach because here's why. You know, in that 401k, you should have the ability to build a portfolio with a long-term perspective that outperforms that, you know, even that 5.5% on average. I mean, keep in mind the S&P 500, since its founding in the 20s, has done greater than 9% a year. So what is your age right now?
I'll be 41 in about a couple weeks.
Okay, so let's say you work for the next 25 years. You know, you should be in a portfolio that's targeted, you know, to your retirement date, perhaps even one beyond that. So I guess my question would just be, why is it that you're only getting 4.5%? And is it perhaps just because you've been in largely stock mutual funds inside that 401k that have just not been performing as well, which the market hasn't been doing well? It's done better this year, but even with the broad market indexes showing, you know, decent results, a lot of that has been pretty narrow in terms of the number of stocks affected. It's only broadened in the recent past. So I'm not surprised that maybe you just haven't done as well, but this is also an unusual time. We're on the heels of a pandemic. We're looking at a possible recession. We've had 11 rate hikes. I mean, this is one of those tough environments. I would direct you back to the previous 12 years before the pandemic, where we were in a raging bull market. And let's say we were to enter into one of those, you know, next year or the year after, you know, then we have another run. That's what you want to be in, those kind of long-term upward trends that we have, you know, typically every 10 years. And because you've got time on your side, I'd much rather you keep that money in the 401k with a long-term perspective, with the right investment mix appropriate to your age and risk tolerance, as opposed to, you know, taking a shorter-term perspective, and that would be to pull it out on a borrowing basis and drop it in a CD. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I guess it sounds like I kind of need to call Vanguard and see if they can maybe realign some of it to where it can get a better return then.
I think that's right. Perhaps connect with one of their advisors there. If there's not one you're happy with, you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor and just say, hey, listen, can I pay you for your time just to analyze my options and help me pick, you know, allocate this among some good mutual funds that are high quality, that have good long-term performance, that are appropriate for my age and risk tolerance. Let them do that one time and then just let that thing go. But yeah, I would encourage you as a first step, absolutely, to take a look at just reallocating that to some different investments as opposed to trying to borrow it out. Hey, we appreciate your call today. I hope that helps. To Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband and I are traveling to Europe in a little bit, and I wondered, where should we exchange our money for euros?
Yeah.
Should we do it at airports when we get to Europe? Should we do it here in the States?
I'm just
not sure what to do.
Yeah, very good. Hey, before we talk about that, tell me where you're going. This sounds like a great trip.
We fly into Budapest, and then we get on a river cruise, and we go all the way up to Amsterdam.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Wow, what a great trip. How cool. All right, yeah, I would love for you to do it ahead of time. So at a bank or credit union is usually your best option for where you get your money before you go, because it's a familiar option. They tend to offer the best exchange rates. They may charge a conversion fee, but it'll be much less than other options, certainly less than the option that would be presented to you in the airport, either here or there. And it really helps with making a travel budget. Then when you get there, I think the key is to try to use ATM machines. You know, those will be the best way for you. And some banks have in-network or affiliate ATMs in other countries. So you want to familiarize yourself with that, because there's even some institutions that reimburse you for ATM fees. So doing a little homework on that before you go. Also checking on your credit cards. A lot of credit cards will waive international card transaction fees. So you might want to say, which credit cards do I have? Give them a call and see which one might be most advantageous to use while you're there. And then your bank should be able to buy that currency back from you as well. So I think that's going to be your best option. Do it ahead of time. Do it at a bank or a credit union. And listen, you guys have a wonderful time. That sounds like a fabulous plan. You be careful, but enjoy yourselves as you get out there and travel abroad. We appreciate your call today. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We still got a full lineup of calls, so much more to come on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can to Indianapolis. Hey, Marty, thanks for calling. How can I help?
Thank you. I recently just went through a divorce, and I'm living in my aunt and uncle's house while I'm helping him remodel it. And I've got a few dollars that I got through my divorce. I was just wondering, how should I save that? What should I put that in? Eventually, within 5 years, I'd like to buy me a piece of property.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wouldn't invest that, Marty, just given that you said within 5 years, which tells me that potentially could be 3 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm just kind of watching, and if something comes along that's a good deal, yeah, I'd like to be able to jump on it.
Okay, yeah. So the last thing you'd want would be to drop a lot of this in stocks, and all of a sudden you're ready to make that purchase, you find that property, and now you're having to sell them at a loss, because we don't know whether the market's going up or down in the next, you know, year or two. We're investing based on long-term trends, not, you know, near-term trends, and something less than 5 years, I would say, is too short of a timeline. So I think the key for you right now is just to kind of reset spiritually, but also financially, and really take a look at your spending plan first, because that's really the cornerstone of every financial success from a dollars and cents standpoint. I mean, we've got to really begin with our hearts and just say, do we understand God owns it all and we're stewards? And am I free from the grip that money can have over me? And, you know, am I giving? You know, that's going to break the grip of money over my life. But then, you know, once we have our belief system right, that's going to inform our behaviors. Kind of the cornerstone to any good financial plan is a spending plan that allows you to live within your means. So, you know, putting down what income sources do I have? And especially now while you're, you know, living in your aunt's place, helping them out, maybe your expenses are reduced more than they will be certainly when you buy your own place. And so how do I take full advantage of that? What expenses do you have? Where can you cut back? And how much margin can you free up every month that you can use to accomplish your goals, which should be aligned with your values and priorities? And if that primary financial goal is socking away money for a home purchase, well, great. Let's open an online savings account, probably at an online bank. You can check out bankrate.com to find the online bank for you. You're probably going to be earning 4.5% interest. It's FDIC insured. You link it to your checking account, and every time you get paid, you just automatically transfer whatever you can over to that savings account, which is your down payment fund. And let's try to build that up. But I think the key for you is, you know, let's try to get your spending right so that you've got that margin. You don't have any debt. Is that right, Marty?
That is correct.
All right. What about long-term investments like retirement savings? Do you are you working right now, or are you just working by way of helping?
I am working full-time, and I've got about $800,000 in my retirement, and I'm 40 years old. Then I've got about $30,000 that once we had to sell everything, that was my part. So I just kind of figured, okay, I got this little bit of chunk of change. I don't want to just go on a spending spree and waste it away. But it's a good, you know, housing markets are pretty wild right now. So
they are. Yeah. Well, that changes things a little bit. I mean, you still need a spending plan, but you're well on your way to having everything you need with an $800,000 401k at age 30 or 40, whichever you said. So I think the key for you right now is, as you're socking away money for that home purchase, just put that in a savings account. It'll be safe. It'll be liquid. Get it out of your spending account so you don't, as you said, spend it on just extra frivolous stuff, and that way you'll be well on your way to making that purchase when the right place comes along. Hey, listen, all the best to you, my friend. I know you're in a challenging season right now, but draw near to the Lord. Really invest in a great Bible-believing church. Spend some time in God's Word, and we'll trust that He gives you a new vision for what He has in this next season. Let's head to Schererville, Indiana. Michelle, go ahead.
Hello. I am 52 years old. I have never been married. I do not have any children, and I am an only child. My father has passed away. I am currently the caregiver to my mother. The time has come that I will need to stop working and be a full-time caregiver for her. I currently do have a 401k, but since I will be leaving that job, I would like to roll it over, but I don't know where to roll it over to since I won't be putting money into it.
Wow. Well, Michelle, this really honors the Lord. I believe the Bible is clear that we need to take care of our parents and our family, and you're certainly doing that at a time where your mom needs you, and I'm delighted to hear that. What do you have in that 401k roughly right now?
To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm going to say it's about $80,000.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you may be slightly under, what it would a minimum for an advisor. A lot of times they'll have a minimum of 100, in some cases 200 or 250,000. But I think you're right. You do want to roll it to an IRA, and you can either manage it yourself and pick those investments, or I would encourage you to hire an advisor to manage it for you. Our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could give you some advice on some good high quality mutual funds to select, soundmindinvesting.org. Or if you wanted to invest yourself and you wanted some faith-based investing options, there's some wonderful mutual funds in the faith-based investing space on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show and you'll see funds like Eventide and One Ascent and Lightpoint Portfolios. There's some great options there. So I would say either a do-it-yourself faith-based approach or check out soundmindinvesting.org, and then you'll open that IRA at probably Fidelity or Schwab. You'll roll it out from the 401k. That's not a taxable distribution. And then you'll just deploy it in those investments at that point.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Michelle. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Hi, Pamela. Go right ahead.
Hi. Quick question. My husband and I are retired, looking at selling our home next spring and looking to profit about $300,000 to $400,000. We are going to be going overseas for a year. So my question is, what to do with that money in the meantime?
What do you plan to do with it when you get back? Buy another house?
Probably.
Yeah. So I think you just need to keep it safe and try to earn as much as you can on it. I'd probably drop it in a one-year CD. Right now you can get 5.5% on $400,000. I mean, you would be able to, you know, make $22,000 over the next 12 months and take zero risk, FDIC insured. You'd probably want to put it at two different banks, or you could have it in different account categories. So you could put $250,000 jointly held and then another $150,000 if you had $400,000 in your name or your husband's name only. Those are two different account categories, which means you get FDIC insurance up to a $250,000 each. But I think beyond that, I love that idea. And that way it's safe. You get a great return on it. And when you get back, it's ready there with, you know, in my scenario, $22,000 more in interest for you to then redeploy it.
Okay, quick question then. So could I put both of them in my name? And I say that because my husband is beginning stages of Alzheimer's.
I see. I'm sorry to hear that. You would just need to use two different institutions. So you could have a CD up to $250,000 at one institution and then open a second one with another institution. Both of those could be in your name only, but you need to use two different institutions to get the $250,000, you know, twice. And so what I do is go to bankrate.com, click on the button that says certificates of deposit. It will sort by the banks and institutions that have the very best rates. Pick two that have the highest rates that are highly rated, and you'd open two different CDs in your name.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. To Cleveland, we're going to finish with Rita. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I went to a wealth preservation dinner and then met with the person that was doing, and now I'm so totally confused with everything because they were saying that the things that I have are have hidden costs that I don't know about. And I've had the same financial planner before that I've had for like 25, 30 years at least.
Yes.
And then they're saying to trade like some of this in for annuities and put it in, consolidate it more because I have it in different accounts, and then to convert like $30,000 every year to a Roth, but I don't even understand where that money is going to come from. So I'm like overwhelmed right now.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How was the steak? Was it good?
It was delicious.
Okay, good. That's all that matters, because I don't think you should do any of that. You know, these financial seminars with free steak dinners are notorious for resulting in a lot of complicated insurance products that make a lot of commissions for a lot of salespeople that may not be in your best interest. So do you have a great relationship with your advisor, and how's the money been doing?
I thought it was doing okay. There's just one account that I do have a little bit of an issue with. And then I have two insurance policies that I'm paying on that are going to be totally underfunded from a financial planner that I had years ago that I left because of that very thing. I didn't get it, but I didn't realize that I'd be paying all these years into this. And now I'm going to probably not even have it when I need it.
Well, I would get to a trusted advisor, whether that's your current advisor or another one, not somebody who's buying you a steak to sell you some insurance products, to look at your whole financial picture, those insurance policies, the performance of your investments, develop a comprehensive plan with a very simple and straightforward investment strategy, not something real complicated that's created by an insurance company. And if that's your current advisor, great. If you'd like to interview two or three others to compare, I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Cleveland on our website, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. But that's really what the direction I would go, is an advisor who's a financial planner, not the insurance approach. Thanks for your call, Rita. God bless you. Well, we're so grateful to have you with us on the program today. I appreciate Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without my amazing team. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.